Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 74 of the Webcomic Beacon. Actually, it was recorded live, definitely, but it was recorded live in person. That's right, if you happen to go to PenguinCon 7.0 in Romulus, Michigan on May 1st to the 3rd of 2009, you would have seen myself, Bess, and Tanya and Mark all together for a couple of panels, including one panel which we recorded specifically for episode 79. The panel was, "We Can't All Be Penny Arcade, But That Doesn't Make Us Bad," and though it kind of deviated from the original theme, and just extended into an assortment of discussions. And we might have Adam Smithy of The Apple of Discord on for another show to re-talk about one of the other panels we didn't record. Well, in any case, please listen to this. I'm not even sure that this recording thing is actually going to work all that well.
I've got mine going as well.
Put it in the middle. Just lay
it
on
you
the
do?
Floor.
Yeah. Put yours on the floor there.
Oh, you don't have to.
Or
it's over there.
It's over there.
No, I mean, you just put the microphone in the middle of the floor.
So I can step on your
mic. No, it's best if it's like right here.
Oh, see.
We have plenty of chairs, Bess.
Well.
Let's give it three chairs.
We actually have a small little loopy on that. You can probably stick the microphone right in there.
There you go.
Interviewed by the chair.
Bird the witch.
If it works out really well, you'll be interviewed by that old Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Some of the rules I have.
Well, chair, I remember backwards.
Are we going?
Let's go.
Where are we going?
Are we going?
Let's go.
Can we go?
Sure.
Why don't we introduce ourselves?
Gotta go get
why
some
don't
sandwich.
We introduce ourselves?
Well, why don't we?
You're
well, I think
right.
We should introduce ourselves. I'm Fess, or Fesser, as I'm known online in some areas. I am. My main webcomic is PSI, webcomic.com. PSI stands for A Pessimistic Sense of Inadequacy, because obviously I'm so confident. But that's more or less a hobby comic, but extending from that, I have since started up a webcomic podcast, which they will introduce with co-hosts, which they'll introduce themselves next, which is called the Webcomic Beacon, which is at webcomicbeacon.com. And we've had, this is basically recorded right now, episode 74, and in the past 75 weeks, we missed one update because we purposely took a break.
Recorded live.
Recorded
live.
And aside from that, I've also extended myself into something called Jenny Everywhere, which is a public domain, open source comic character. I didn't create her, but I'm basically the archive curator of collections of several webcomics. They're standalone stories about her. I've collected arcs of other webcomics that have used her. I've recorded cameos and artwork and even some written stories of her. And I'll have a panel on that tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., which even less people will show up than this. I've certainly extended myself beyond just doing my own webcomic. But I'll move it on right over to the next person we have.
We should never start with him.
Mark?
That's an intro, and it blew his load.
I'm Mark Savory. I do a newspaper-style webcomic at autumnlake.com. I also have a podcast as well, my own personal podcast that, like, three people listen to. And
great.
I'm one of them. Oh, you're the other one. So there's somebody else out there that's a fan. And I'm also a co-host of the Webcomic Beacon.
Ah, hi.
And some of the stuff I do.
My name is Tanya Higgins. I do a comic called Betapone.com, and I'm also a co-host of the Webcomic Beacon. Beyond that, I occasionally do a review blog, a webcomic review blog, called the Wednesday Webcomic Review.
Wee-wee.
Then beyond that, because I started, attending conventions and seeing what other webcomicers were doing and the difficulties they were having, I also started a customized services company called A Better Way Merch, where we do custom shirts and custom printing and things like that, but we can pack them all up into convention bundles to make things easier for webcomicers.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed
at all.
And now it's Bong's turn.
Of course.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Penguin Connery. His Majesty should wear.
You go, you rogue. It's all good. Hi, my name is Mike Delheim. I'm the creator of a webcomic called Prepare to Die, which is a role-playing webcomic about three characters get sucked into their own gaming campaign. Beyond that, I am also the creator of a collectible card game called the Wagon Webcomic Battle, which is completely based off of webcomic characters and independent artists contributing all their artwork into the system. So, yeah, that's about it. It was very concise, very nice, very good.
Okay. Basically, I'm coming at this backwards to everyone else here. My name is Michael Marcus. I am the editor for Hamtramck Idea Men. We're from Hamtramck. We have ideas, and we're men. And
we're men, manly men.
And we actually publish physical comic, two titles of physical comics. One Pulp Dreams, which is action adventure. And then I also publish an anthology, which has in past included webcomics, including Gap of the Clown by Tony Miello. I guess we represent the moving beyond portion, because we're trying to help the webcomic people get into something, get into physical comics that people can hold in their hands. We also do silk screening and game design, logo design, and a bunch of other services that are useful to the people who are doing the webcomics.
Excellent.
Yay!
You had ideas.
We
were expecting like a moderator and
people
stuff.
People. They just gave us a room.
Don't denigrate the audience.
No.
More people.
These persons here are great. I was just talking about
these are the finest quality people I've ever seen.
Two of them are ringers, I know.
And really,
you don't have your glasses on, do you?
No, I don't.
These are the finest quality people in this room right now.
Well, really, this is representing is that part of
the cream.
Part of
this is what you get at 10 a.m.
Yeah, part of the problem with moving beyond webcomics.
8 a.m. Sunday is going to be interesting.
Even I won't go to that.
Interesting. I would settle for interesting.
Part of the problem of moving beyond webcomics is that we all are artists, and you know, or writers.
By
no offense,
the
Jason,
definition
are still
possible in some cases.
Are still a flaky bunch, and unfortunately, what it takes to go beyond, and certainly to anything profitable, is organization. Organization. Promotion, which webcomics are also typically very poor at, and management and connections
and time management.
we don't have any of that.
I can vouch for the fact that a lot of what's needed is a little bit of management, a little bit of organization, and just understanding what goes into making something good in print versus good as pixels. One of the examples I've seen of a webcomic that was later done as a paper comic, the person didn't really have any concept of physical layout, and so what was once a web strip that went like this was now on a Reader's Digest size page, taking up one panel here, one panel here, one panel here. The result was so much white space, you didn't feel like you were getting what you didn't feel like you were getting your money's worth.
Yeah. And how could you look a tree in the eye after wasting all that kind of paper?
And when I explained this to the person who did this, the anger I got back from her was just tremendous. You know, because I mean, it's not like I just said, oh, well, this is just a waste of paper. No, I didn't say that. I said, if you can change the layout so that you maybe have your panels 3x3x3, so you actually fill the page, people would feel like they're getting more, you know, with their page count.
And if you're starting a webcomic with any sort of notion that you eventually intend to put it into print, which actually I think is a smart idea. You know, when you look at any of the successful webcomics, eventually they publish an anthology. Even Jeff Jacks, who's I think the last on the anthology train, is finally putting one together. You need to design it. You still need to design it for print. On the web, you can do amazing things, but if you intend to print it, you have to understand that changing the layout dramatically from what you had originally is going to change your pacing. It's going to change the way, you know, it feels. It's going to change the dramatic effects. Then you have page turns to worry about. You don't worry about page turns on the web. Page turns, issue turns, you know, all of those different elements. You have to think ahead.
Yeah, even the quality of the stock of paper you use makes a significant difference. Mm-hmm. If you're doing something that's full color, for example, I highly recommend, in most cases, not all cases, because it all depends on what your material is, I highly recommend a high gloss paper, because it makes the colors pop out that much more, and it catches people's eyes. If they pick it off the shelves and look at the inside, they see, ooh.
This is worth my money.
Yes.
It's
true. How much of a factor is the fact that the webcomic online is usually free, and then you're wanting to shell out, at least to cover your expenses on your anthology, or you're wanting to put out a regular paper?
Do you want to do that?
So basically, just to recap for the audio, if it's picking up at all, you're asking, you're basically asking, why should somebody get a print version if it's available for free?
No, it's kind of how much of a factor is that in the consideration, and you know, and in the
when you make that step,
when you're making that leap,
yeah.
You know, is that, you know, like, is that, how much of a worry is that, and how much of a drop off you expect? Well, I have so many thousand readers, but I'm only going to get so many dozen or so many hundred. They're going to be willing to pay.
If you're in the tens of thousands of online readers, you probably have a better bet of selling a couple of hundred, because it's never going to be a 1-to-1 ever. It's like a
1%. I say judge 10% will buy something from you.
So buy something.
Is there a headcount you should aim for before you start calling the
how much money do you have in your bank account that you're willing to spend and lose? Is what it comes down to. And honestly, if you don't have a lot of capital up front, you don't have money that you can lose, you need big numbers, because you're going to want to make that initial investment back. If you get your tax return and you're broke,
right?
You know.
Yeah. I do have one thing to say. It's not as much as the number of readers you have, though I would personally say at least 10,000 would be really good solid. But what else really matters is that if you have like 1,000 or a few hundred and they're active readers, they're in your forums, you're talking to them, you're exchanging. What is more important than the number of readers is the number of active readers. If you have 100 readers and you have two people in leaving comments, but if you have 100 people, like 100 unique users looking at this, you got like 50 people that are actively in your thing, you have a better chance of selling even books.
Yeah.
But overall, in general, if you're just kind of not knowing, if you're like in the thousands, or 10,000, so you have a much, much better chance, of course, but I do say active readership.
Okay. And I'll disagree with that, and I'll give some reasons why. Because there are a lot of opportunities that people don't look at, because in some ways what you have to do in general is think outside of what your normal audience is. Okay. There are people who will get to see your graphic, your printed book. Who will not ever stop by your website? There are a lot of people who still don't like the internet. There's also people who I don't know if you've noticed this, but the internet, the webcomic population throughout the internet is huge. They may not otherwise find you until they find the paper book first. One of the things that I advise is there are a number of ways to handle the costs of printing, either through some but not all of the print-on-demand services, and through getting advertisings and sponsorships that will essentially make sure that you're not risking as much of your money, if not actually completely paying for your given print run.
Right.
And if your print run is paid for, then at that point it's no risk to you selling the books.
I think there's also an equation in there according to what your comic is. If you have a story format comic, something that makes a great graphic novel, you're going to get that. You know, you're going to be able to immediately put out a book, and you're going to be able to draw in graphic novel fans and, you know, people who see it at the stores, and they're going to like that. If what you have is a gag-a-day kind of strip thing, I think you're looking for what they call true fans. And your true fans are the ones who will buy anything you put up on the site. They love you. They love everything about you. They're good. We should get them. There's an analogy, not an analogy, there was a little article for webcomickers, and it talked about the old model was that what you needed was hundreds of thousands of daily readers, like for newspaper comics, right? Because that's what got you published, that's what got people interested, that's what made people want to buy your merchandise. You literally needed hundreds of thousands of people. Where now they're saying online, what you need are 1,000 true fans. That with 1,000 fans who will buy something from you every month, you can make a living.
Yes.
If you have a story comic, though, there are story comics. Wopsy Square, I will buy. I love it online. I read it online. But it's a story. And I forget what happened 6 months ago. If I have the book right there, I read it in one sitting. I have it all. I can't wait for 2012.
Oh, yeah.
That thing wraps up. I'm going to buy them all. I'm going to sit there for a weekend and just do
that's
that.
That's where the world is.
Well, I'll do it quick.
I would have to say that partly, like what you were saying, was a lot of it was, no, I'm loud. It doesn't need to be that close. But that's fine. A lot of what web publishers do is, like, when they do have the print stuff, they don't really go beyond just advertising on their self or through online or webcomic advertising things such as Project Wonderful, which is highly used through webcomickers. A lot of the stuff what you're saying would be non-web stuff because you're talking about people that would never go online, so they're not going to see these ads. So
in some cases, yeah. There are a number of people who we have advertising through us. One of them is Spiderweb Software, the guys who produce Gene Forge, Avernum, and a number of other good games. A lot of them, in our case, because we're out of Hamtramck and there are just so many great restaurants in Hamtramck. We get a lot of them advertising with us, and when we put them out in local stores, it draws people from outside throughout the Metro Detroit area into Hamtramck to spend their money, and everyone walks away happy. That said, aside from being able to sell there's no reason why you can't advertise in each other's books. There's no reason why you can't draw people from your own community or creators of different types. The nice thing about a print book is it also opens up a different type of convention for you. For example, locally in Columbus, Ohio, we just had Space, the Small Press and Comics Expo. And if you bring your books with your webcomic stuff to Space, you're going to draw a lot of people in who probably never looked at a webcomic in their life because they come from the side of things that either they're also self-publishing or they're involved in the fanzine crowd or they're involved in a number of other things that just are off the web. You're also drawing in a bunch of casual people out of Columbus who are taking advantage of an almost free afternoon of entertainment to come in and buy. They came in looking to buy books, so they might as well be yours.
there's also another way to get word out there is through different forums and things. Certainly there's webcomic forums, webcomic lists. That's the one that I hang out on the most. There's High and Art forums, very good as well. And even going beyond that, I hang out in a couple of forums in Britain, which aren't webcomic forums at all. There's some podcasts I listen to that are made by people in Britain. And what I do is I call in sometimes and say hi, you know, this is Mark from Autumn Lake. Sometimes I send them like a calendar or stuff like that, and they, you know, give me a little, hey, this is, I got this from Mark, this is so cool. So that's an entirely different audience. I actually, it's kind of scary, I actually have more people in Britain listening than probably like 10 states combined.
Well, that's the voice.
It is.
Well, probably.
You're one of them. They feel akin to you.
That's possible, too.
It's very good.
Podcasters.
But, I mean, in that interaction, that's the entire reason why I created my card game. The entire basis of it is to try to get beyond webcomics, beyond the communities that are already out there, and everybody's fighting tooth and nail in these 10,000 comics they're trying to establish themselves. And instead, I can go to conventions and to other places and go after gamers, an entirely different group of these kids that are all playing collectible card games and liking to look at the stuff. And any of the cards, it's really built to have the personality and the feel of the comics themselves. So when you get your decks and you're looking, you like this character and you think it's kind of funny, there's a URL on the card that you can go to the site and see an entire story about that character.
And there's a lot of crossover between the gaming community and the webcomic community.
Yeah, thank you, Penny Arcade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the stick and Full Frontal Nerdity and stuff.
Yeah,
like
my own webcomic is a role-playing based system. So, yeah, I know all about the gaming and everything, too. So, yeah, it's really out there trying to find a new niche, a new direction to go to that hasn't been covered yet. It's trying to find that new audience that, you know, hasn't really been saturated. They're not sick of you yet, really. That's most of it.
That's the one thing with Project Wonderful. It's an awesome, awesome way to advertise, but it's kind of incestuous because it's mostly within webcomics.
Well, it was originally designed for
them. Yeah. Yeah. And the ones I've seen that aren't webcomics are either very small or, Comics Curmudgeon is kind of a.
There's
some crossover there, but that's all print comics. But a lot of webcomicers advertise on Josh's site because people who like comics,
even to
make fun of them and be snarky with the newspaper comics, they're still going to see yours there and they might go and say, oh, maybe this is cool and check it out.
Daniel Corsetto of Girls with Slingshots at Emerald City Comic Con this year was saying that one of the things that she's done with her merchandising is that she stepped beyond the typical, you know, I do an online comic, I will print an anthology, and these five shirts. Because, you know, she realizes that she is a woman with these interests. They are varied. And her audience is the same thing. So she stepped beyond that and said, okay, this is what my audience is. I know the kind of things they like. They're mostly college students. What do college students need? What do college students use? And can I produce those? And that's another way that you can... Well, yeah, Daniel Corsetto makes a lot of money off of her work. He made the little money sign in the back. So she does have that upfront money. But again, there are places where you can do an on-demand kind of thing depending on how specific you're going to get. I know people who have put up the money for 500 plushies and then got to have a lot of plushies. You know, because it's not really what I mean. You know, you have to say, first you need a good idea of who your market is, who's reading your stuff, who's interested in what you do, and then figure out what else do they do. The same thing. He knows that there are gamers. You know gamers are reading your comic. It's a gamer comic. So, hey, make them a game. You know, those kind of things make a lot of sense, and they help you to branch out, and they help you to support what you're doing, but it also, you know, it's...
Yeah, and usually in that direction, coming up with these ideas and figuring out what to do in the way of merchandise, and such, you really have to talk to your audience. They have so many comics out there that they push up a comic and they have a blog and they say whatever's on their minds, but they don't interact with their audience at all. They don't talk to anybody. You see, my personal thing since I began webcomics has always been get into the communities, talk to the people. There are so many people out there that love stuff, want to interact and do things, and if you get in there and know who those people really are, you can figure out what they want. I mean, you can't just look at a blank slate and go, I'm an artist, this stuff is up, it's so wonderful, and expect everybody to eat it up, and then nobody likes your stuff and nobody just buys anything, and you go wonder why. It's because you have no idea who those people are, so you have to have some way to interact. That's the only way to figure out what's going on.
Live journals, other feedback needs, those are critical. Those are fantastic things.
You need to have a presence.
Yes.
I think people need to know you're there.
You're selling yourself as much as you're selling your work.
You've got like 10, maybe upwards of 20,000 webcomics going at any one time. Some come, some go. Some hang around a long time and go. Some just come.
And most of them completely and utterly destroy our reputations. That's why most people look at webcomics and they think that they all suck because they see 10,000 of them and they are horrible little things that should never see the light of day.
You have a lot of chaff to get through the week. Standing out, having
some
presence.
Part of this is getting above the blood.
You've got to get out of that chaff, and I think that's critical. I don't have a forum on my site because I don't have a large readership yet, but I do hang out in forums, do the Beacon, and try to do other things to let people know a comic exists.
What do you think of Jeffrey Rowland's Umbrella, where he had like several forums, several webcomics?
That's
artists on the same forum. Yeah,
I actually have a setup like that myself.
Yeah.
I'm a part of a group called the Insignificant Comics. And I don't have my own forum at this point. I have a sub-forum inside that system. And it works out fine. We have 5 or 6 different comics, and we all talk together. And some of my fans drop over and say something once in a while. And
like a collective.
The real funny part is I have a shout box on my comic. The shout box is constantly getting comments from people and talking about things. They don't want to go to a forum. They don't want to sign up for an account. They don't want to go through all that hassle. If they have a little thing that they can just post a note, that's all they require, and that lets me talk to people, and it all works out really well. So convenience to your audience and make them happy is...
There's some people who actually have... MySpace stuff and LiveJournal stuff and Twitter stuff for each of their characters. So those are people with even less of a life than me because they must have time for that.
Jeff Jack is actually one of them. Hannelore's Twitter is one of my favorite things on the planet. If you don't read questionable content, she's an overly neurotic character. She scrubs her ceiling on a weekly basis. She's concerned about everything. The swine flu thing has been the most glorious thing that has happened to me comedically just because of Hannelore's Twitter. He does it for a living, though. So, he can sit around and, admittedly, have a good stiff drink and, write Twitters. And then about 10 o'clock at night, normally he starts his comic. He's like, all right, let's do this. I don't have that life. But the social networking it's a big deal. But part of what we're talking about is... it's moving beyond. Part of that is trying to make money. And the other thing that separates you from the chaff we've been speaking of is that we're here. We showed up. We showed up at conventions. Maybe we have merchandise. We've gone off and we've done other things. We've made a presence of ourselves and said, yeah, we think this is important. And, that effort, those things where you're moving beyond shows people that at the very least you're serious about what you do, and that helps them be serious about what you do. I wanted to say briefly one of the things that that makes some people gravitate toward the web rather than print is content restrictions. Mm. I'm a grown up and I do horrible things. one of the other things that I've done beyond my webcomic is I've started a company with another horrible person, R.T. Barnum, called Estrus Entertainment. where we're taking all of those things that no one else will touch, and we're putting them all on one site. But what I can say is that you're never going to get pay on demand for porn. Let's be clear. I can't do that. I can't go to Kablam and say, would you print this comic? They will send it back, and they will say, no. No, we won't. Same thing. Lulu has content restrictions.
Cafe
Press really did not like me at all. I was kicked off like that. it was instantaneous. But there's starting to be. There are some people. A better way. I have no content restrictions. I don't care. If I can write porn, you can too. I'll print it up. Whatever. But it took me 6 months to find a printer because even local printers wouldn't print some of that.
Won't touch much. My God.
So, yeah, basically, what it took is I actually had to, as part of my contract with my printer is I had to say, I promise I will not tell anyone who's printing this stuff. Like, it's the only contract where advertising was actually banned. It wasn't part of it,
Can't really just walk into a Kinko's and go, can you make these?
They go, oh! You know, there's noises.
Oh, come on, it's in your name.
Hey, it's Estrus Entertainment.
I'm sorry, some Kinko's clerks would be like, I'm your new fan.
But the point is that we're getting more open. We're getting more open as a society, and you can find those things. And I know that that's what's been holding a lot of webcomicers back, is they put their things online because nobody would print it. And I think we're kind of beyond that now. Eros has come out of its troubles a little, and they're starting to print things again. So, and as far as blood and guts and gore, we're good with that, right?
Yeah, it's
politics.
It's the craziest thing. I mean, we can put things on the market, and I'm not proud of this by any stretch of the imagination. You know, with graphic dismemberings and intestines, coming out of all sorts of gashes in the wrong places. But God forbid we see a female breast. It's like, oh my God, that's going to be too shocking for the young psyche who has otherwise just gotten inured to the violence and goes back to his school to shoot it up.
Her guts are hanging out, but it's a nipple. Yeah. Janet Jackson showed her nipple for what was a half a second? Did we even know what we saw? And the whole nation went into uproar. CSI was on that line, and it was about a mutilation serial killer. They showed a woman dead with her breasts cut off. That's fine.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
But, that's why I don't
but
watch
no
it.
Nipples. There's no nipples.
Well,
we can't have that.
The nipple bowl, the thing that was offensive for us watching was Kid Rock wearing a poncho that was made out of a ripped American flag. Nobody said a word about that.
But there was a nipple for half a second. So, but the content restrictions are getting better. If blood and gore is your thing, that's easy. Yeah. But there are places that you can go. We don't have to be shy anymore.
It used to be. I mean, and politics, at least in the last 8 years. yeah, I mean, that's like, I mean, it's almost like what I kind of, the only thing I can equate it to is McCarthyism. In the 50s, you know, it's like a Red Scare. Why? You're wearing red, you pinko commie. You know, things
don't
like
you get that.
That
anyway?
He gets that anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's strange, strange things, and I think that brings a lot of people to webcomics where they can just say whatever they want, show whatever they want. So we have a lot of freedom there. But I think it's critical, like you said, getting to know your audience.
Sure.
What they want, what they don't want. And then marketing to them.
I know my audience.
I'd like to go back real quick, if I may, we're talking about forums and such like that. Talking about insignificant comments, which is basically a community, or what do they call them?
A collective.
Collective,
yes.
This is, it's almost vital. Because there's like all these comics out there. It's like I'm not going to anyone's forum again because I don't want to make a whole another login and worry about keeping track of all this stuff. It's a lot easier if you got a bunch of people of, you know, it helps if they're somewhat similar, where the crossover, where you can get multiple readers of the same comics,
lunchbox money.
One login for 10 different comics. Boom, hey, yeah. And then you can, like, sit there for a while. Another thing I want to point out is a website like drunkduck.com, where everyone has a login. And already there's thousands of comics on Drunk Duck. And boom, quick comments, forums. One simple login, stay logged in. That helps. Also with Comic Press and WordPress and the webcomic and Inkblock plugin and theme plugin, which I would say is superior to Comic Press for WordPress. Basically, you can just type stuff in a comment and not really have to log in, though you can technically. But even there's a website called Gravatar, which will work with WordPress to basically say if you have the same username, the same email address you put in, it'll recognize that. Boom, stick your one avatar in for any time you go into a WordPress. It's all about making it easier to make connections to help go beyond the type of webcomics that people are normally like, where it's just make your HTML page and then you want to add all this. Well, yeah, it's all hard coded, so you're kind of in a disadvantage. So you kind of got to move up to the webcomic, to the internet 2.0, but we're already going to 3.0 now.
I will say though, it took me 10 fans before 3 people offered to build me a website.
Yeah.
You have web people. They're there to read your comic. You can get help with things like that, but
I would also recommend. I would have to say start a podcast. Start a podcast. It's so easy. It doesn't really cost a lot of money. You don't need to be, Shadow Stevens at the microphone. You don't need to do that. And just talk about. You can talk about anything. You talk about your webcomic, obviously, your characters. How did you come up with this? How'd you come up with that? Here's what's going on this week. And you don't. I mean, most of the time, I don't even really talk about my comic. I talk about what happened when I went to the garbage mart today.
Yeah.
But the idea is you're bringing in a different audience. So I have people who listen to my little podcast who aren't webcomic people. They're not really into comics, maybe. Maybe they just like when I talk about, hey, I had this new recipe for pumpkin pie from 1923, and here's what happened when I tried to figure out how to make it, because it had some weird ingredients I didn't know.
It came to life and tried to eat the cat.
It's bringing in that different audience. So they might go and say, well, let me check out the comic strip and see what that's all about.
Because they like you. And if they like you, they'll like your stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't have to see my face that way either, so that works too. But I would recommend that. Look into starting a podcast. Get involved in forums and communities outside of webcomicry. Topics that you enjoy. And I think one of the biggest problems with forums and webcomicers, first post, hey, make a webcomic, come check it out, bye. And it never come back. You need to be an active member of whatever that group is, whatever your interest is, fountain pens, or
the
gardening.
Make sure you have a picture link in your signature. So every time you post, it's subtle. And you're
not really.
The more actually good posts you have, the more they'll see that graphic link.
You're not actually advertising, but if people respect what you say, then they might check out your stuff.
It's a soft sell.
I mean, because that's most of the problems you run into is, people just do the drive-by advertising, and that actually hurts you more than it helps you at all.
Because people
go, this guy's an idiot, and I don't want to go to a site anymore, and you'll be blacklisted from
same
the
thing
community.
For being an ass in a forum. Yeah, when you go into a forum, you're all a bunch of stupid people. I mean, that's not going to get what you want.
That's one of my biggest.
Not a good career control.
That's my biggest rule.
No.
When people say, I'm thinking of starting blank. It doesn't matter what it. Don't be an ass.
Yeah.
How hard is that? Why do we have to say this over and over again? I'm starting a store. I'm starting a webcomic. I'm starting a print comic. Don't be an ass. It's actually very simple.
The idea is to bring people in.
For some people, that does work. Because some people like seeing things being chopped down. But you have to be a really good asshole.
Yeah.
You have to be really good at being a dick.
Yeah.
To really sell that.
Otherwise, it's what they call the glorious bastard.
Yes.
The guy that you hate him, but you love him at the same time.
Yeah.
I do that very well at times.
Yeah, you can't just say, here, have some of my poo. I expect to get a good and expect to get a good anything.
Do we actually have any questions?
Oh, yeah.
Anything else going on? Now that we've started to fill up a little bit.
With people who are waiting for the next panel.
Just waiting for the next.
Well, there's one thing I can go back. If you go back to before webcomics, or at close at the beginning, I mean, what was before images on the web? It was basically text-based communication. And then eventually you get BBS, and you get forums and such like that. And I'm pretty sure that people started sharing images and even, like, those character... and sharing information like that. And then you get, like, these art sites, like DeviantArt is one of the biggest ones, where people make a lot of art, and then sometimes they'll make a little one-off comic, and then sometimes... they make enough that are, like, in a row, or they make sense enough to be put together. Then, like, hey, you should put this on a website and such like that. I almost think that it could be beneficial going in reverse. If you have, like, a bunch of random ideas, you can pull it off to make, like, a gag a day type of webcomic. But what might also be a nice idea, like, going beyond webcomics, is if you're really a lot better within the forums and... you can whip out a strip fairly quickly.
Whip it out.
Doing a content-related quick strip of something that's going on can be really funny, basically making a visual representation of people being stupid in a forum or whatever, and posting it there. That could be excellent advertising.
Like a newspaper editorial
cartoon. Yeah, kind of like that, but you don't make it too much like you're advertising your site, but it's more so as in, like, hey, I can put this in visual form. This is really funny, and I can see this really working out. At least, at the very least, you can probably, you know, get a lot of people going up in the forums or whatever, and just keep posting stuff like this. I know that in the webcomiclist.com forums, there have been a couple of comic jams, just in general comic jams, where you have people working together. I'll draw one strip. Draw the next one after that, and we kind of develop this story as it goes along. That is highly a forum event. You can't really duplicate that without basically copying the information into each page so people know what the hell is going on. And it's a very community thing. A lot of people outside aren't really going to get it, but that's like comic creation that goes beyond what, you know, typical webcomics are.
Comic gyms. If anyone who happens to be at the show is local, and you want to just enjoy participating in a comic jam, Green Brain Comics in Dearborn has them the second Wednesday of every month. You don't really need any talent as far as drawing goes. I know because I participate in this. And again, I'm not the artist of HIM. I'm the editor. I'm not the guy with the artistic talent, but they let me participate. It's still fun for everybody. So
you don't draw it, you just tell them it sucks.
Or, I mean, if you do draw, there's all kinds of things you can do to get your name out there. Spot illustration. Offer to do things for other people's websites. Hey, yeah. I drew you this.
Guest strips.
Guest art.
Fan art.
Guest art exchanges.
No creepy fan art, please.
Except for her, but
creepy. Yeah. And speaking of comic jams, there's also the cartoonconspiracy.com, or the, if you Google cartoon conspiratists, there is basically a collection of various places that where a local or community will get together. Hey, once a month we're going to do a comic jam. And then they'll collect them all at the end of the night and put them together, put them online for people to see. But
you know, and actually, one of the things that I did want to say quickly about, you know, you said going backwards, and we've been talking a lot about, obviously, you know, starting with a webcomic and going beyond that. I know plenty of people with print comics who eventually said, you know what, if I put this up a page at a time, this is great advertisement for my print.
Yes.
And
I know a few of those myself.
And yeah, editorial cartoons, like you mentioned, that's a dying art. As the newspapers die, that's a dying art. Some of these cats are now going on online to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I might interject, a lot of the editorial cartoons are actually migrating to the webcomics.
Yeah.
You know, I think they need to.
Chris Mirror Day by Day is good, you know, is a splendid example.
I think Cagle does some for CNN.
I think he does it on CNN.com.
Yeah. They need to.
They have nowhere else to go, and that's a tragedy.
Move or die. That's the way that's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But are there any other questions before we kind of got to wrap this up?
All right. This is the suckiest podcast ever.
Well, I don't even know if it's recorded well enough.
Oh, I don't know to be a part of that.
Oh, I was awesome. Welcome to hey, it's another noble failure.
Noble failure.
Epic.
Spectacular failure.
Spectacular.
It's better. It's probably better because it's more informational, so it's better than one that was basically about me kissing and moaning about people.
Something awful.
But considering
my voice ended up on another bad podcast.
That's good. Hey, that's awesome. It could be your thing.
You're the Rob Schneider of podcasts.
Thanks to everyone that was coming.
There's your website, anotherbadpodcast.com.
Yes.
Well, again, that was just one of the webcomic related panels that the Webcomic Beacon hosts were on during PangoCon 7.0 that was in Romulus, Michigan, May 1st to the 3rd of 2009.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.